One of the things that at Grace Church, obviously we do, is we love singing together. You are just doing that. Our worship team leads that. We do that in first service. There's just some things that you don't do maybe on a regular basis. I don't know if you get together with your friends regularly and sing together about stuff. But that's something that we do as the church, as the life in the body, because we want to worship together. You're here, my guess is, hopefully, because of Jesus. And there was Jesus put a call in your life in some way, and you've decided to follow him. And as a result of that following him, you gather with the church, which is all of us, to worship. And we do all that because he's worthy of that. And we do it because we want to hear from God and what he has to say. And in hearing that, hopefully, the Spirit works and moves in our life to help us be more like him. And as a result of all of that, hopefully, we're able to introduce other people to who Jesus is. That's kind of the point. The next number of Sundays in the weeks ahead, we're going to be starting a new sermon series. And it really is just trying to boil down who we actually are as the church, what our job is, why we exist as the church, the point of it all. And at the very basic level, our job is to be disciple makers. That's who we are. We are disciple makers. Now that starts, and we're going to read that in just a second, the call to discipleship. That starts because Jesus calls us to be a disciple. That means to follow him and his ways. And then we choose to do that and live in a way that honors him. That's what discipleship is all about. And the purpose of all that is so that we can introduce some other people to who this Jesus is and what it means that he came into the world that he created. So at the very basic level of who all of us are is disciples who are seeking to make disciples. So the sermon series that you'll be hearing about this fall is We Are Disciple Makers. Now there's a football team that uses that same kind of we are who? We are Michigan. No. We are Penn State. That's maybe you've said that. My brother likes Michigan. If you don't like Michigan or Penn State, then just change it to we are disciple makers. That's who we are. Not me because I'm the pastor, all of us. We are all disciple makers. But that has to start somewhere. So the sermon series is going to be building off of one another each Sunday. We got to start at this place, the call to discipleship. And then as we keep moving forward, we're going to kind of unpack what it means to be a disciple who makes disciples. And so hopefully by the end of it, you see, all of you see yourselves, and we kind of are reignited to pursue what Jesus has called us to pursue, and that is a life of discipleship that helps to make others disciples. So that starts with Jesus calling the first disciples. And in order to get us, before I get into Luke chapter 5, I want to ask this question. Have you ever had to give something up? Probably. And how difficult was that for you? Now, maybe it's been a bad habit you've had to give up. Maybe that was difficult. Maybe it was something good that you just needed to give up. Maybe that was difficult. So think about if you've ever had to give something up and how that worked in your life. How easy was it? How difficult was it? I could list a lot of things there. One thing that I thought of and how difficult it is for me, I don't ever specifically go on a diet because I want to diet. If I've dieted, it's because Jess is trying something new, and I'm forced to eat whatever she is making and eating. And I don't even remember which diet this was, but you couldn't eat noodles. I don't know if this is the keto diet. I can't remember. Kim and Jill did this with Whole 30. Okay, this was the Whole 30 diet. So, you know, you have spaghetti and meatballs, but you know what you make spaghetti out of on Whole 30? Zucchini. You cut the zucchini and it's made in these little strips, and I'm like, this is spaghetti. You need noodles for spaghetti, not zucchini. And I realized when Jess goes on these things how difficult it is for me to actually give up food, specific foods that I like. And that's not really by choice. I'm not choosing to do that. She's making me do that. And because I love her, I choose to do it. Discipleship, as we think about what Jesus is about to say here, is about that. But again, it's a choice. Think of those things that maybe you gave up. Did someone force you to do that? Was it a choice that you made? When Jesus calls us to discipleship, it is a choice that we can make to choose to follow him or not. And sometimes that means doing some difficult things. But if we are disciples who make disciples, it's got to start somewhere. And for Peter and James and John, it started here in Luke chapter 5. And so I want to read this story for you and then draw some conclusions for us. Because obviously, Luke's writing this and we're hearing about the first disciples, the people that first started following Jesus around. The word disciple is not new in Jesus' day. There were lots of disciples of other teachers. If you were a teacher and you had people following you around, or they were listening to your teaching or school of thought, you were their disciple. So Jesus is simply doing the same thing that happened throughout first century in this time period of people starting to follow around a teacher, and they were considered that teacher's disciples. And so that's what's going to be happening here. Jesus is just beginning his public ministry. If you read Luke's gospel, you're going to hear a story about Jesus being born. You're going to get some information about John the Baptist. You're going to read about Jesus being tested in the desert in Luke chapter 4. And then once he leaves the desert, he begins his public ministry, going to different synagogues and doing some teaching. As a part of that teaching, he's also performing some miracles. And so even before we get to chapter 5, he's done some miracles, healed some people. His reputation is growing throughout the area, not just in the geographical location he is, but it's spreading all over the place. So he's healing people. He's casting out demons. And in Luke chapter 4, we're actually introduced to Peter, because Jesus is at his house, or Simon, as he's called. And Jesus is at Simon Peter's house, and he heals his mother-in-law. It says that his mother-in-law had a fever, and Jesus came, and they were worried about her, and they asked Jesus, "Can you help her?" And Jesus heals her. So as we get to chapter 5 here, this is where Jesus calls his first disciples. It's not like this is the first time they heard about this guy, Jesus. It's not even their first interaction with Jesus. They've met him before and apparently spent some time with him at Simon Peter's house. But the story is a call to discipleship. This is where it begins. Begins here for Peter, James, and John, and by extension, Peter's brother Andrew was a part of this as well. And it's a call to discipleship for us, the readers of the story as well. So Jesus is calling them specifically. So how does that play into our lives? What is Luke trying to, what point is he trying to make when Jesus is specifically calling these guys in terms of our call to discipleship as well? So as I read this and as we go on, we're going to kind of unpack all that, because if we are disciple makers, then we first have to be called to be a disciple, to follow Jesus and his ways. So Luke writes, one day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, which was the Sea of Galilee, this name was just the common name in that local town. This is what they called it, but it's the Sea of Galilee. The people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God as they had done other places. This wasn't new. This is what Jesus started doing, and this is what happened in a lot of places in Jesus' day. A teacher would go to this place, and crowd would gather, and they'd listen to his teaching. So that's what's happening here, and the crowd was pretty big. That it says, he saw at the water's edge two boats, Jesus saw, that left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and this is Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. There was such a huge crowd. In another passage, it says they were kind of pressing in on Jesus. Everybody wanted to get around him. Everybody just wanted to get close to him because he was healing so many people. So he puts out onto the Sea of Galilee, and he starts teaching there from the boat. So now, you know, Simon, Peter, and James, and John, and the others there would have been listening to Jesus' teaching at this point. And it says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Now, we just read that there were some fishermen over here in the scene as Luke is setting up the scene, and they were washing all their nets. Those fishermen were Peter and James and John and the others that were with them. And so now Jesus, now they were washing their nets because they had been fishing all night. And now Jesus tells them to go in a little bit deeper and let down their nets. And so obviously Peter, I say obviously because we kind of get to know Peter as we read Luke's gospel, and he's very honest. And he says, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Now, if we can read between the lines there, he's like, we just got done doing this. We're washing our nets because we didn't catch anything. Why would we go and throw our nets in the water again when we didn't catch anything? The other thing is, nets were used in Peter's day. Nets were used at night. If you're using them during the day, fish see the net and they swim around the net. They don't swim into the net. And so here's Peter. This is his job. This is what he does for a living. He's a fisherman. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't know necessarily Jesus that well. Jesus is doing some amazing things, but Peter's probably thinking to himself, here Jesus is telling us to do the exact thing we just got done doing, and we're washing our nets because we didn't catch anything, and now he's telling us to do something we would never do. We would never fish during the day with these nets. That doesn't make sense. We're professionals here. But Peter kind of knows Jesus is a little bit different. Again, he's learning this. And he says, but because you say so, Peter says to Jesus, I'll let down the nets. So again, we're thinking about discipleship here, and Peter's just being introduced to Jesus, but he expresses something important here that I'll point out in just a minute. So Peter's already doing something that he wouldn't normally do, use nets to fish during the day. They had just the night prior not caught a single thing. That's why they're washing their nets. And so because Jesus says it, he's still not sure, but they let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. Remember, there were other boats there along the shore. And now they're calling them out, and they came and filled both boats so full that the boats began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had just taken. Now, they're fishermen. They know how this works. They've got so many fish, and were introduced to his business partners, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were astonished at what had just happened. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. This is kind of Jesus' invitation into discipleship. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, and they left everything, and they followed him. This is the initial call. Jesus is just kind of developing his group. His crew of guys are going to be following him around for a while, learning what it means to be a disciple. That's basically what's happening here. But to start that, Peter, James, and John had to do some things in this call to discipleship that all of us need to do as well. And so if we are disciple makers, if that's who we are, then first we have to be disciples of Jesus. Luke gives us a picture of the appropriate response to Jesus' call. He gave this call all over the place throughout his ministry. Not everybody responded. It's not necessarily what everybody wants to do. Because as you will see here, as we'll kind of point out, there's, if you think back to that question, some things that have to be given up in this call to discipleship. But we see the appropriate response from Peter and from James and John. It wasn't like Peter was like, okay, Jesus, we'll throw down our nets. I think the response we're seeing is this uncertainty. I'm not sure who this Jesus is. I'm trying to figure it out. And there's an element of trust here. Peter is honest with where he's at, but he says, Master, because you say so, we're going to drop our nets. He was willing to trust Jesus at his word. And so because he does that, he drops his net and a miracle happens. Fish swim right into this net in the middle of the day. It's busting their nets. It's sinking their boats, something that maybe never happened to them in their lives, all their life fishing. And Jesus says, you can trust me. Throw your nets over there. And Jesus is confirming that for them. Again, you know, he's trying to develop a group of disciples to take on this task. Because one day, they're going to have to do it. God has plan A. There is no plan B. Maybe you've heard that before. He's got a plan, and that plan is for all of us to tell the world about Jesus once he's gone. That's it. And so first, he needs to get a group of people that are willing to trust who he says he is. And discipleship follows from that. To walk in his ways. That's what really discipleship is. To learn from Jesus and then walk in his ways. And when that happens, that's when Jesus makes you a disciple maker. So he says, you're not just going to fish like this. You're actually going to be fishing for people. That's what he says in verse 10. Then Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. Literally translated, he's saying, from now on, you will be catching people. That word, catching people, is actually capturing them alive, just as he did with the nets. When they picked up all these fish in the net, they're not dead. They're alive in the boat. Now, that's a lot of fish. I don't actually know how they killed all that fish. Like, if you've ever gone fishing before and you catch fish, you kind of just bonk them on the back of the head kind of thing, and then you gut them, and you clean them. I don't know what they did with all those fish. But Jesus, kind of using this little play on words here, says, you're going to catch people, and you're actually going to bring them to life. Those fish that they caught were going to die. If you're a fisherman, you catch fish for the purpose of killing them, selling them, eating them, whatever. But Jesus is saying, when you follow me and follow my ways, you're actually going to be bringing people to life. And I'm inviting you to follow me around. They didn't know how long, but we know for the next three-ish years or so, just over 3 years, I'm going to invite you to follow me around and learn what it means to be a disciple. And you're going to fish for people, and you're going to introduce them to life. Life found in Jesus' name. But that discipleship, that trust, and that willingness to go and follow, to live in Jesus' ways, meant they had to give something up. It's very clear here what they gave up. Their job, right? They left fishing to follow Jesus. But they had to give something more elemental up first. And Peter gives that response. When the miracle happens, Peter goes to Jesus, he falls at his knees, and he says, "Leave me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." And I'm wondering to myself, why does Jesus say, when he tells Peter, and by extension, James and John and the others there, why does he say, "Don't be afraid"? I think they began to get a glimpse of who Jesus really is. And when that happened, they understood who they really were in light of him. Peter falls at Jesus' knees and says, "Leave me. I'm a sinful man." Peter and James and John and the disciples were giving something up more than just their job as fishermen. They needed to let go and turn from that life of sin and follow him. Jesus was doing something with them, through them, and in them that was forcing them to give something up. And I think what we see, Jesus didn't physically come to me by a lake and call me and invite me into discipleship. That was not my experience. Pretty sure it wasn't yours either. So in this call to discipleship Jesus is making, how does that play out in our life? Jesus called Ted to leave his life of sin and follow him. And I had to decide, is this Jesus worthy of trust? Can I trust him? And if so, am I willing to conform my life into his ways and obey his words? Well, that was a giving up of something. All of us have to do that. Now, these guys dropped everything. It says they brought their boats to shore and they just left it there. That gigantic catch. I don't know what. Maybe the crowd took it and ate it and sold it. I don't know. They just left it and they followed Jesus. And the rest of Luke's gospel is all about those guys learning what it means to be a disciple. And then if you want to find out, did it work? Did they actually become disciples who make disciples? We're left with that question. After Luke 5, we just start following Jesus around, just like the disciples, as you read through it. And the disciples are doing very little. We're just watching Jesus do everything. Did it actually work? Did Jesus make disciples who make disciples? Well, Luke wrote a second volume. We call that the Book of Acts. And you can read all about Peter and James and John and others who are disciples of Jesus who then made disciples. All of that began here in their lives. An invitation from Jesus to give something up. To give up a life dominated by themselves. They were their own master. And say, give all that up and follow me. Well, that's what Jesus is calling us to as well. A life of discipleship, a call to discipleship, is giving up that sin and saying to Jesus, you have run of my entire life. The way it often happens in our mind and within our culture is we give Jesus this time. And then I put up a wall and say, okay, Jesus, you have Sunday morning from this time to this time. Here's the time slot. And then Ted gives Jesus his life there, but Ted's kind of different at work, and then Ted is a little bit different with his friends, and then Ted's a little bit different when he's coaching the sports team, and then Ted's a little bit different when he's with this group of people, and we kind of put all these walls up. A call to discipleship is Jesus knocks down all those walls, and he says, I want all of it. Are you willing to give it to me? And Ted then has to reckon with the way he is with this group of people. And not only does Jesus want all of that, Ted, what are you spending your time doing? Because I want that. Ted, what are you spending your money on? Because, you know, I want that. Ted, what's your thought life like? Because I want to be in charge of that as well. See, there's a lot that I have to give up and give over to Jesus. That's what discipleship looks like, in saying, okay, Jesus, I trust who you are. I'm giving it all to you and turning away from it. Turning away from that sin in my life and following you in your ways. And as Ted does that, Ted always used to have a harsh word for people and really tear them down when he needed to. And life of discipleship is learning that that's really not how Jesus calls us to be. Jesus is transforming all of that as well. You know, lying to my employer, if I had to lie to my spouse, if I had to lie about this to get ahead, I was kind of willing to do that. It wasn't a big lie. No one's getting hurt from it, but I just would lie about stuff. And Jesus says, nope, I want that too. My kingdom is about honesty. Even when it's hard, a willingness for you to be honest. If I'm honest with myself, there was a lot I had to give up to Jesus to follow him. There was a cost to me to this discipleship. Am I willing to trust Jesus at his word, at his invitation? Jesus did not physically come to me in this way. Your call to discipleship is this story. We are reading a story about Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection, and putting our trust in that it's true. And everything that Jesus says, I'm willing to trust. And Jesus knocks down all those walls and gives me an opportunity to follow him and his ways. And as I do that, just like these disciples, I learn what it means to be a disciple. At Grace Church, we've got a ton of ministries starting this fall. I listed those last Sunday, the life groups that start, the connection groups, the Bible studies. All of it is to help us be disciples. But it doesn't work if I just keep putting these walls up, and when I'm here for this particular event or study, oh yeah, Jesus has all of me there. But when I go home, the wall gets put up, and Jesus doesn't actually have anything to say about how I am at work or how I treat my spouse or my kids or what I'm like coaching that team or what my thought life is like. A call to discipleship is a willingness to recognize that sin in our life. I could list for you all the things that are sinful out of the scripture. I don't think I need to do that. I think you know what that is. We've all lived it. We've all been complicit in it. And Jesus is saying that it goes to a place you don't want to go. Yes, in this life now, it leads to death. And ultimately, it leads to separation from God. And I am offering you something. I'm offering you life. Life that is found in my life. That I actually gave up for you in my death and promised you something new. In the evangelical world, we call that being born again. That's how radical the change is, because when you get a glimpse of who Jesus truly is, you fall at his knees and you say, Jesus, I'm not worthy of you. You should leave me. I'm a sinful man. And I just see Jesus in this boat with Peter, putting his hand on Peter and saying, don't be afraid. I'm going to show you how to fish for people. I just did that to you. And now you're going to learn how to do it yourself. And Luke is all about that. I mean, we see Peter's life. He didn't get it perfect. If we were going to put up a disciple as the poster boy for discipleship, I'm not sure Peter's our guy. And yet Jesus used him. Because Peter was willing to trust Jesus at his word, and he was willing to follow him in his ways. Turn from that life and turn toward Jesus. And when he does that, Jesus does something amazing. He gives him new life, this relationship with Jesus. We get to follow that around with Peter and the guys and everybody else that interacted with him. With us, it looks a little bit different. My life changed when I actually said, I'm willing to follow you, Jesus. It literally changed in that I was going in one direction in college, and I shifted and said, I'm going to go be a pastor of a church. Well, I said, I'm going to go, pursue pastoral ministry. I wasn't sure if it would actually happen. I wasn't sure a church was foolish enough to hire me, but here you guys are. Thank you. When you get a glimpse of Jesus, he will change you. Now, I don't think Jesus is saying you literally have to quit your job. I don't think Jesus is calling every single one of you to quit your job to follow him. I think the bigger question is, maybe the harder part, is are you willing to let Jesus change who you are at your job? Are you the same person there as you are here? With your family, with your friends, with that social group you're a part of? That's what discipleship looks like. And a relationship with Jesus changes everything. We all got to come to that place. This call to discipleship is not just for Peter, James, and John. Those guys out on that boat. It's for all of us. It's a willingness to turn from our sin and trust in that Jesus is who he says he is, and that when we put our faith in him and give our lives over to him, that you will be saved. That's what Scripture says. Are you willing to trust that? Are you willing to trust in this Jesus? Because when you say yes, that's when discipleship begins. It's not like, oh, I got it all together. That's when it starts. And following Jesus and his ways shape us, form us, mold us, conform us, knock off those rough edges, smooth it out. And before you know it, people are seeing your life and saying, man, I think that's, if Jesus was walking around today, he'd be a lot like that person. I can say that about a number of people in my life that have really exemplified what I think it means to be Jesus. And they were the same person when I saw them at church and when I saw them other places. I remember a story that was told to me of somebody who attends our church now that went, when they were visiting churches and trying to find a church to get involved in, be a part of, they went to that church, and there was somebody who was on the leadership at that church that they knew from another setting out in the community. And their example out in the community was so bad, they're like, if that person is in leadership at the church, I don't know that I want to be connected to that church. Because they were not the same person in the community as when they were at church. Our relationship with Jesus changes us and who we are. One of the things that Jesus does and what he does here is he forms a community around himself. Luke chapter 5 is the beginning of following a bunch of guys. Jesus, they're following Jesus around, and we just kind of read that. We kind of see that story unfold. And then if you read Acts, you see that happening all over the planet. In Israel, yeah, it starts there, but it doesn't stay there. It goes and expands throughout Israel and the region of Judea, and then actually heads to Turkey, and then Greece, and then Rome, and then all over the place. There's these little communities of Jesus followers. We just gave them a name. We call that the church. That's all of us. This call to discipleship is life in the body. That's the church. This community that's built around Jesus. Like I said before, we kind of get together on a weekly basis, and we sing a bunch of songs to praise Jesus. I don't normally do that Monday through Saturday. I'm not here with a bunch of you throughout the week. I don't go out throughout town. You probably aren't doing that at work. We do different things. This community of people does different things built around who Jesus says he is. And the more we do that, the weirder we start to look. Our way of life looks a lot different than the world's. And if you've been paying attention or listening to the things I've said the last number of months and years, we've noticed that our belief system, the things that this Jesus has to say about life and reality, are starting to look really weird. And our belief of this stuff and trying to follow it is actually putting us at odds with people that live in our community. It might even be putting you at odds with family and friends. Because Jesus is building this community around him and his teaching. This call to discipleship is a call to life in his body, being built up for a reason, for a purpose. Christianity doesn't work by itself. You can't be a Christian on your own. Because Jesus is building this community around the church. Christianity, following Jesus, means you are being connected inside with a community. And so I know in the United States of America, it's just sometimes me and Jesus. That's all I need. I just need me and Jesus. I don't need the church. Well, you're going to have to tell Jesus that, because that's kind of how it works. The church is messed up. I know that. The church has done some things that we're not super proud of. I get that. But Jesus is willing to work with what he's got. And that's us. That was guys like Peter. And he's going to build this community around himself for the purpose of doing exactly what Jesus did for Peter and the disciples, putting his hand on them and saying, don't be afraid. You can find life. Your life can change now. Your life can actually change for all of eternity. You can actually know your Creator. You can actually be free from sin. All that happens through knowing Jesus. And you invite people in to this redemptive story. You're a part of that story. You are a chapter in this redemptive story. God is writing that chapter in your life. And he's looking for that to start in other people's lives. And Jesus forms this community around himself for the purpose of inviting other people into redemption that is found in his name and his name alone. It is a powerful name. It has the ability to change people's lives. When they get a glimpse of who this Jesus is and give their lives to him, it's as radical as being born again. They're formed into this community where we have new brothers and sisters surrounded by Jesus' teachings and having a purpose. Jesus said, I'm going to make you guys disciple makers. In the American context, the church, the church, the Big C church, the universal church, is not in trouble. God's not like wringing his hands and like, uh-oh, it's not looking good. What are we going to do? Now, the small church could be in trouble. If we look around the American landscape, there's a lot of churches closing. A lot of churches struggling. A lot of churches who aren't making disciples. We're here to do that. This is our call. We're formed around this person, Jesus, and his teachings, because there's people in your life that need to be introduced to him, that need to find life in his name. And we're going to be talking about disciple making. We're all called to do that, not just the guy who's the pastor or the professionals. We're all called to be disciple makers in our own way in the groups that we're a part of. And if we lose sight of that mission that Jesus has given us, we're going to see more churches close. Because the church exists because Jesus changed our lives. We decided to form this community around him and his teachings. Jesus incorporates us into his body, the body of Christ, which is the church, and we're all sold out, one heart, one mind, in this mission. This mission of sharing about this redemptive story. Now that happens because Jesus has called you to follow him. A life of discipleship. And when that happens, Jesus knocks down all those walls that we have put up to say, Jesus, you can have this area of my life, but not the rest. Discipleship is, as Peter and the guys did, leaving everything. Leaving it all. And maybe it's time that you've done that. Maybe you've not done that. I'm not saying quit your job. I'm saying there's maybe some things in your life that you got to leave. Maybe Jesus is exposing some sin that you got to say, Jesus, you can take it and forgive it. And I'm going to walk this way. I'm going to trust you at your word. And I'm going to learn what it means to be formed by your teachings. And as we do that, as you do that, you are a disciple of Jesus. And the whole purpose of Jesus doing all that is because you know somebody that needs to hear about him too. So I'm asking us as Grace Church, if you're, I did it first service, this service, if you're watching at home, we'll be doing it throughout the sermon series. But today, more than any of the others, is a call to discipleship, a call to give it all to Jesus, and just like Peter and James and John, begin following him and his ways. If you've never actually done that, I invite you to do that. Jesus just tells us to confess him as Lord, and when we do that and turn from that life of sin, like Peter has done, we get a glimpse of who this Jesus actually is. We fall at his knees and say, Jesus, I am dependent on you. And we know that story. Jesus, through his death and resurrection on the cross, no longer offers us that judgment or condemnation, but that freedom and that grace. Jesus is calling you to discipleship. Are you willing to follow? Jesus is calling us to be proclaimers of this redemptive story formed in this community we call Grace Church. Are we willing to follow? Are we willing to obey? Because I guarantee you, you know someone that needs to be introduced to him. Let's pray. Lord, as we just end our time together here this morning, and as we're reminded of that call that you've placed on the disciples, Lord, we're reminded ourselves. Maybe a call that we heard a long time ago, but it's good to refresh our memories of what it is you did in our life when you changed us and made us new, like we were born again. God, you formed us into this community, this body here at Grace Church, around your teaching and to live for you. And God, you've given us a mission. God, I do pray that we would give it all over to you, that we would embrace this call to discipleship, to follow you in your ways, to obey you, to turn from that life of sin, turn from that stuff I know we got in the back of our head, that we say, maybe I need to give this up. Maybe I need to make some changes. Today's that day that we can do that, Lord, because you've called us to not only be disciples, but make disciples. And so, God, as we journey through this sermon series in this fall, I pray that you would put people on our heart, on our mind, that we need to have the courage to just introduce to you. God, I pray that you would help us be a church that does make disciples. Help us as we go through this sermon series to learn what that means, Lord, and be excited about the results, seeing people's lives changed forever because of Jesus. God, I thank you for changing my life and calling me to this place and my family. I thank you for this church body that we are a part of, the brothers and sisters we have here, to be this community called out to serve you. And I pray, God, that you would give us the boldness and courage as Grace Church to invite other people into this redemptive story that you're writing through your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.